Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm terrific, Faisal. How about you?
Well, it's a very interesting session today because we're not in studio together. You're in Calgary. I'm in Edmonton meeting clients this week and took a little time standing here and coming back later on this afternoon. But it's going to be very interesting to have a conversation with you from two different cities. I can tell you the sentiment in Edmonton is probably a little bit different than Calgary. And I'll tell you that the whole feeling in the city. Now, I came into town and there was a hockey game going on. People were having a great time. I'm in what's called the Ice District, and they were all talking about, you know, how this pandemic is causing a problem, but they're all talking about, well, what's next? What's next when it comes to the economy? What's next when it comes to taxation? I'm surprised to hear more and more people in Edmonton talking about taxation, not only from a federal level because of the new government, but taxation, like they're hearing sales tax. We don't hear that in Calgary. We're hearing that up here in Edmonton, which is quite interesting that they're bantering around the conversation that maybe there'll be a sales tax up here. I was quite surprised. In fact, I almost had to go hide back in my hotel room when I heard that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We often talk about Alberta and how it's different and sometimes how we feel things differently than the rest of the country does. But it's interesting to know even between cities, right, some of the concerns, conversations are also different even within the same province. So that is an interesting bit of an insight. But listen, we got to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk a lot about taxes today. So we've got Jamie Golombek joining us. He's going to go through some of the, what he expects could be some potential tax changes in the future, given the new government or after the election. And we'll also talk about some tax tip for year end to do some planning and make sure you're taking advantage of what's available to you. Faisal, the markets this week have been interesting. We got some inflation data this week, and of course, I would say over the past 2, 3, 4 months, concern has been growing around how persistent the inflation is going to be. And it appears that with all the supply chain issues that we're facing, you've got energy prices skyrocketing. There's still lots of potential stimulus to come in government spending that things are looking a little bit more persistent. You know, the U.S. data that we got this week was a tad higher, not out of the realm of sort of the reasonable range, but it was certainly a tad higher than what was expected. And I think the market is now starting to expect that this is going to be with us a little bit longer than maybe what we were thinking about 2, 3, 4 months ago.
So two things on that point, Dave. One was, the whole conversation, let's say 3 months ago, 6 months ago, was transitory versus permanent inflation. Yeah. And so what we've been hearing about is, well, where's this transitory inflation? I don't think any central banker came out and said transitory is less than 1 year. I don't think right. They ever said that. So I think that there's one thing that we have to put in the back of our mind, that transitory could be 2 years. Supply chain and the glut that we have there, it could take 2 years to sort itself out, and that will then calm down inflation. So central bankers are saying, if this is a transitory piece of the inflation rate, then we don't want to raise interest rates so much that we're going to, you know, slow down the economy while we have this problem. Then when all the supply comes out, you're going to have even possibly deflation, and that's a bigger problem to deal with when you're a central banker. So that's one part. The second part, when it comes to the whole inflation conversation, is now we're starting to see what's going to be a bit more sticky and what's more permanent. We're seeing grocery stores with higher costs. Yes, that's part of the basket of goods for inflation. But when we're looking at wages and we're seeing how many companies are having a tough time hiring people, that they're giving incentives, that they're raising their levels of income to these individuals, that it's going to be passed on to the consumer. What's surprising in all of that has been happening, the bond market hasn't reacted as much when it comes to the inflation issue. What are your thoughts about that when it comes to the bond market? You're a bond guy, so what do you think?
Yeah, well, it has been interesting to watch. Let's just use the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield as sort of the benchmark for this. And we did see it over the past sort of 10 days push higher, and then it's backed off a little bit. Listen, I think that we're in a phase where interest rates are likely to start moving higher. And I'm not talking about the the central bank overnight rates that we often talk about. I think the market is likely to start pricing in higher interest rates here, but it'll be fits and starts, right? It's like anything else. It's not a straight line up. We're gonna, you know, it'll push up, it'll pull back, push up, it'll pull back. That's the trend we're in. But I do think that the trend right now is probably to a higher interest rate, which ultimately, Faisal, is a good thing, right? We don't like to see in the bond markets interest rate shocks where it just goes from, you know, 1 to 2% in a very short period of time. That's bad. Those kind of shocks are bad. But over time, as savers, right, one of the groups that have been punished through this whole period of time with low interest rates are the savers, people in retirement, because you just can't get enough yield or interest from the bonds that you hold. So I think if we can get a slow, steady march higher, which the central banks would want to see, if we can have inflation starting to mitigate, your point is well made, I think, about the timeline of it, right? So we will negotiate as market participants the timeline over which some of these transitory issues, supply chain problems, mitigate themselves. But here's one back at you. You know, we're hearing more and more the word stagflation being brought up, which I find very interesting. Now, just to define that, stagflation is an economic condition where we have rising prices, rising inflation, and we have stagnant growth. And what I find interesting about that term coming out now is even with any of the revisions we've seen just this past week in terms of growth because of some of the supply chain problems, we're still seeing global growth north of 4%. That is a long way away from stagnant growth, right? So that the idea of the 70s keep coming back up, and I just don't see the conditions that exist for stagflation or something that would mirror the 70s.
Yeah, and I think you're bang on with that, Dave. I think when people talk about what happened in the 70s, there was also recessionary numbers coming in.
Yeah.
74, 75 as an example, those years where that was, I think, the first time that our Canadian dollar in a long time was above par.
Right.
Right. So we saw that there was a recession with higher interest rates, and that caused the terminology of stagflation. That's not happening here. We're not going to double-digit interest rates.
Right.
Now, that being said, going from 1% to 3% is a huge magnitude, and that will cause a shock if it happened like overnight.
Right.
But when we look at the words of stagflation, as of right now, we don't see that in the data points. But what I find very interesting is whenever there is rumor of interest rates going up, certain pockets of the media will come out and start using that word just to get the conversation going. And it's very interesting where no one's still talking about we're at global growth of 4 to 5%. We have got majority of the world that doesn't have their vaccine rates at the same as us in Canada or the United States, is where majority of the world is in population. And so, you know, there's still some long-term, a lot of growth in that area that no one's really talking about.
You know, yeah, good point. There's a number of sort of fine balancing acts that we're, and this happens every crisis, right, as we move back into a state of normalization. But, you know, you think about the supply chains and think about the energy impact. I mean, on the one hand, we see energy prices moving higher, and that'll be positive, obviously, for Alberta and Alberta-based oil and gas companies and so on and so forth. Most of the world are consumer nations, right? And so as a consumer nation, higher either natural gas or, you know, gas prices, oil prices, you know, creates an inflationary problem. But it's been very interesting to watch the sort of the negotiations back and forth between OPEC and their analysis of what this is going to do. You know, they're kind of holding their own. They're holding the course saying, listen, our supply program in terms of increasing supply seems reasonable given the current environment. Whether they're right or wrong, you know, could create some volatility. Higher prices, we've seen $100 forecasts in oil, and I've seen $70 forecasts for oil. A lot of it is going to be dependent upon how quickly that demand comes back and the willingness to bring supply back on from principally Russia and Saudi Arabia.
This is a very interesting point in time, Dave, where there are so many things happening at the same time. Let's talk about, we've got inflation, we've got a whole issue, and because we're in Alberta, we talk about energy and the price of all the energy prices of either natural gas or oil and where that's moving. What we're also talking about is a technology war happening between China and the United States. We're talking about that. They're going to have problems. And somewhere stuck in the middle is Taiwan with this whole chip shortage and all their semiconductor concerns. This is a very interesting time where now politics will take a lot of the pressure and put it on the economy, I believe, and I think that there's going to be a lot of volatility. What's being missed in this is that there is a lot of companies that are good quality that are just being looked over, and a lot of junk companies that are being bought because they're moving fast with all this liquidity in the market. And that, to me, is artificial growth, and that's a concern. So how do you profit and protect in these types of times where we could see a possible 10, 20% pullback in the market? We haven't seen that for a while last year. We haven't seen it all year. This year, we saw a 10% pullback. That's concerning me. That tells me there needs to be a bit of a breather in the market. So it's going to happen at some point. We just have to figure out when that's going to be and how do we mitigate that risk. So we're going to talk about how do you mitigate all that type of volatility, profit and protect, at our upcoming webinar on Tuesday, October 19th, 7 p.m., live online. Go to our website to register, morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, if you're interested, concerned about what might be happening with taxes given the new government, stick around after the break because we've got our top tax expert here to give you some opinions on what he thinks may or may not be happening. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.